All right, kiddos, come join me. How's everybody today? What are we going to celebrate this week?
Thanksgiving.
That's right. Now, I want y'all to play a game with me, okay? I'm going to bring something out of the bag. I'm going to show it to you. I want you to think and let me know what this item makes you thankful to God for, okay? Fair enough? All right. Here we go. I'll start with something real simple.
A basketball toy
that we can play.
Football.
That we can
a football. Sports. Does that make you thankful for anything?
Football.
That we can play sports.
Yes, it does.
How many of y'all enjoy playing some kind of sports? Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
All kinds of things. All right. Well, that's one thing there. Let's see. How about this?
It's a can.
Ooh.
What does it make you thankful for, Brianna?
For food.
I don't know.
You don't know? Food. That's right. She's a puppet. Somebody's got their hand up her back. It's food. Are y'all thankful for food?
Yes.
What, Will? Hey, that's right. We're gonna take food down to some people who are living on the street today, and they don't have enough food. And then tomorrow night we're collecting food to take to some other folks. Okay, how about this? Now this one is a little bit of a stretch for you. Okay, but
light.
You said it is. What, Tim?
For us to see in the dark whenever we go camping.
Not just when you go camping, but what do you do when you're at home and you turn on a switch? What happens, Jackson?
The lights go on.
And the lights go on. What if the lights didn't go on?
How is that?
Do you know we've been to other countries where they can't just switch on flip a switch and the lights come on. So that's something to be thankful for. We've got, we have one that's out.
I got another.
Y'all know how we change these lights, right?
No.
John gets up on my shoulders and he changes the light bulb.
Yeah, no, use a ladder.
We're a real good team. Okay, how about this?
Medicine.
That we're nice and healthy.
What about Bullfrog? Why are we thankful for medicine?
Because it makes people that are sick not sick.
Are you speaking through him right now? Okay. What are you going to say?
We don't get sick.
Yeah.
And also that we're nice and healthy.
That's right. So you'd be nice and healthy. Okay. All right. Now this one, I don't know if y'all are going to catch this one or not. You're going to have to really think about this one. All right, well, wait a second. All right, Caleb. But where do you use something like this?
At school.
At school. Are y'all thankful for school? Who's thankful for school? And how many people out here are thankful for school? All right. Now, how many of y'all are thankful that you're going to get out of school for holidays? How many of y'all are thankful that they're getting out of school for holiday? Okay, I got two more. Whoop. You're supposed to be watching, Brother Dusty. All right. This is a special kind.
I know.
What are we thinking? What are we thanking God for?
Church.
Our church.
In that we can worship God freely.
That's right. Right here. Right, that's right. And we can be here and nobody busts in and breaks up our meeting. Okay. All right, here's the last thing. Now, this is an easy one. Okay? Somebody that hasn't answered yet. Okay, Stewie, I saw your hand. What's this one represent? Jesus dying on the cross for our sins.
And it will also make us Christians.
That's right. Let's pray together and thank the Lord for all of these things that we have to thank Him for, okay? Lord, thank You for these children. I pray Your blessing on them today. Lord, I pray as they have led the way now in shouting out praises to You. Lord, forgive us for missing the things and just taking for granted so much that You give us. Thank You most of all, Jesus, that You died on the cross for our sins. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Let me tell you, there will be people that in your life, family members, friends, they might not think about being a part of church at all. This is a great time to invite them. Okay? Let's do that. And let's spend the time with the Lord. As I was thinking about all of that, I thought about what the year is like for me every year when this time of year comes around. I love it. I live for it. First time I've gotten laryngitis this time of year in about, probably 10 years. Used to get laryngitis this time every year. But I thought, as I thought about this time of year, this phrase came to mind. Life's too short. Now, you've probably seen that on the internet many, many times. And a lot of funny quips people use with life's too short. I'll give a few of those. Life's too short to skip dessert. Some of us hadn't skipped it very much. I'm just speaking for myself. Life's too short to hang out with an ugly man. Life's too short. On a child's website, I heard this. Life's too short to do homework. Life's too short to care what people think. Life's too short to always be worrying about clothes matching when we leave the house. Life's too short to cut grass and rake leaves. Life's too short to always go through the procedure to remove that USB device from your computer without getting a nasty message. Now, when you think about all the things you see, and by the way, I wouldn't advise you to look very deeply into the Life's Too Short website. Some of them get a little risque. But what about us? We who serve the risen Lord Jesus, crucified, dead, buried, risen, coming again, Lord Jesus. We have a limited time on this planet. Life is clicking. How many of you had a friend that died this past year? Well, let me tell you, the older you get, the more you're going to be able to raise your hand. Because law of averages catches up. So, here's a few things I thought you might want to consider on this theme of life's too short. Number one, life's too short, so why don't we just start with forgiveness in our lives? Here's a passage from Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, you know, there are two kinds of forgiveness. There's the kind you get and the kind you give. This passage is about both of them. Are there some people in your life that you need to forgive? Let me give you the picture of what it looks like. You know, in the old word perfect software, which was what I cut my teeth on and when we got our first computer, Word Perfect 5.0, they had a little button you could press that said reveal codes. And you'd press that button and it would reveal all the hidden codes that were operating in your document all around there. If you put a space in, if you had changed a font, if you had an indention or a tab or a paragraph, anything you had done to it, it would reveal it. Let me ask you, what if right now you're looking in God's mirror and God presses the reveal codes button on your life when it comes to forgiveness? What would he see? What would he see in you? Are there some people that you still haven't forgiven? And what it looks like to God is it looks like there's a ball and chain that you're dragging around. Life's too short. Life's too short to carry that unforgiveness around. And on the other side, the other kind of forgiveness, are there some people that you need to ask their forgiveness? Well, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, it could get messy. Man, it's already messy. You're wading through it. Why not let God drain the swamp of your life when it comes to forgiveness? I could go on this one a long time. Life's too short. Number two. So, life's too short. So quit worrying about the stuff you don't understand yet. Now maybe I need to explain that. But let's read the verse first. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. How much stuff do you worry about? You know, I wish I knew what was going to happen tomorrow. You know what happens when you spend so much time invested in tomorrow? You quit living today. A lot of stuff you don't understand yet because you got to live through it. You got to, in the old time, in the old meetings, the old revival meetings, back in the 1800s, They would have a season. They called it praying through. You got to pray through. We could use a little bit of that now, couldn't we? Praying through to see these things I don't understand. There's a lot of things you could worry about. Let me tell you, if the devil knows he can get you this way, He'll throw those things in front of you and you'll keep tripping over them. And they'll rob you of the moment. It's kind of like the dad that's busy out there making the living. You know, he went ahead and took that job that would take him out of town from all week while his children were small and they're growing up. You know, it's kind of a cat's in the cradle kind of a song, you know what I'm talking about? And then he's at the end of the, you know, kids are, they're about to go to college and dad's been gone the whole time. I thank the Lord. I'm all embarrassing now, but I don't know if he can hear me. But my daddy was offered several jobs when me and my knucklehead brother were growing up that would have taken him out of town every Sunday afternoon, get home on Friday night, And I know sometimes we have to do those things. But I thank the Lord that He turned every one of them down. Because my mother needed Him to help rein in two wild and woolly boys who needed their daddy there to get it in a language that they could understand sometimes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Number three, life's too short. So start doing the stuff you know God's already shown you. Here's the deal. All that stuff you worry about, let's put that in God's hand. Let's pray. Go back to the second one, Johnny. Let's pray. Put it in God's hand. Now back to three. So that we can start doing the stuff that He's already shown us. The stuff that we know that is right. Well, I don't know what to do. That's not true. That's not true. You know a lot of things that are the right thing, the godly thing to do. Let me ask you, are you doing them? Need to start. Colossians 2:6. Now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him, to do what He says. You know, if we spent the time just doing the stuff we already know about, instead of asking God, you know, please reveal your will to me about 5 years from now. About today, the things He's already made plain to you. Number four, life's too short. So quit doing the stuff He told you not to do. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Then stop doing it. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel replied, this is after Saul has disobeyed the Lord. The Lord told him, gave him a command, and Saul had a better idea than the Lord. And he edited what God told him. And that's when Samuel, you know, he's supposed to kill all the sheep, and he comes up and he hears the bleeding of sheep. What's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? I ask me that question. I ask you that question. Does He want your sacrifice or does He want your obedience? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to Him is much better than offering the fat of rams. You can't buy God off. He wants you to be obedient. That's His heart for us. Number five, life's too short. So start investing your life in what you know will last. Now get this. I believe Rick used this passage in one of the devotions last week. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Who are you living your life for? We say it all the time. We're living our lives for an audience of one. What are you investing in? Is it stuff that's going to last? What's going to last in your life past the next downturn in the economy? What would last through a disaster? What would last through some cataclysmic thing that would come? It's only the eternal things. Go out to the cemetery and look on the headstones there and see any of the phrases. Is there anybody that says anything, you know, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. I wish I'd spent more time and fill in the blank of whatever thing. And it's not to denigrate any of those things that we do, but what's first in your life? And are you investing in that? Number six. Life's too short, so start joining God in what God is doing. Now listen to this Hebrew passage. And now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all that is pleasing to Him. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by an everlasting covenant, signed with His blood, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who designed you? Who made you? What did He make you for? Did God create you for your agenda? Or for His will and purpose? I think I was about, I was a teenager before I realized that you could actually use a claw hammer better to drive a nail than you could a pair of electrician side cutters. Because that's what I grew up with. You use those to hammer nails. But then when you realize what a tool is made for, and you begin to use it, He's made you for His glory. He has a plan that's bigger than you can imagine. He's waiting on you to join Him. To join Him in this plan. This plan for the earth. This plan that our politics, our geopolitical situation in the earth, all the wars that are going, everything that is happening in the world, none of that can denigrate His plan. Because His plan is far and away beyond that. Are you settling for less in your life than His exact will and purpose for you? Have you sucked in the lie that the evil one wants you to come in agreement all the young girls that I see that they're thinking their worth is based on something that is skin deep. That this only how you look. When God sees the beautiful creation that you are, you need to be with people that can also see that. And not people that just judge you based on an outside appearance, or what you can do for them, or how you can be manipulated in some way. God has a greater plan for you because He loves you. And you think, well, I've missed so many chances. Let me tell you, another bus is coming by right now. Another train is at the station. It's your station. And God's saying, join me. Get on board with me. I've got more for you. And I know some of you that are older, you think, what's God going to do with me? Well, I want you to point you to a few people that were pretty old codgers in the Bible. I mean, can we talk about Abraham? Can we talk about Moses? Man. Look what God did in the last part of their life. Man, Roy McLean used to say this a lot more eloquently than I can. He said, all that you have experienced up till now, God has been preparing you for this moment. For this moment. Carpe diem. Let's don't just seize the day. Let's seize eternity in the very presence of God in our lives. Let's see what He'll have for us. He has an adventure waiting for you Don't settle for the leavings that fall off the back of the truck. When God wants to bring you to his banquet table, join God in what God's doing. Don't ask God to come bless what you're doing. That is sin. Did you hear me? That's displeasing to God. We join him. Finally, number 7. So, why not be joyful? Let's look at this in Isaiah 41. You will be a new threshing instrument with many sharp teeth. You will tear all your enemies apart, making chaff of mountains. That's some pretty sharp teeth, isn't it? Make chaff of the mountains, just like the chaff of wheat. You will toss them in the air, and the wind will blow them all away. Wouldn't you like to see that done with your enemies? With the garbage that's dumped on your doorstep? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that to be destroyed? The way people manipulate you, that the way they treat you, the way the world system does that and tries to talk you into the fact that you're nothing. You're a child of the king. Look what he says. The wind will blow them all away. A whirlwind will scatter them. And the joy of the Lord will fill you to overflowing. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The glory of the Lord is going to come. His joy will come and fill you. Not some pasted on. I've got to get my Jesus smile on now. I got to act happy because, after all, I am going to heaven. At least I can be happy about that. When the Lord says, I'm going to give you the joy now. Now. I'm going to bring my joy to you. Be praying right now. Because some of us need to receive this joy. Life's too short. So why not be joyful? Why not? Well, preacher, you just don't know. You don't know where I live. No, I don't. But I'm not the one saying this. So don't talk to me. Talk to God. Talk to the one who made you. The one who wants to bring great joy to your life. Not that you're stupid. He didn't call you to be stupid in the name of Jesus. You know, I went out to the cow lot and I stepped in all this stuff. You know, I'm happy about that, you know. No, get the stuff off your shoes and let's dance with the Lord. What he wants in our lives. So, I had a later edit to the message. So listen to this. This is the last thing I want to read this to you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful how you live. Be careful the choices you make. Does it matter what choices you make? How much does it matter? It's life and death. That's how much it matters. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. New Living translates that, make the most of every opportunity to do good in the evil day. Life's too short. Let's make the most of it, what God has given us. If you knew you only had so much time to live, how would you live your life? Would it be different? with this message on life's too short be of any consequence to you today? Of course it would. If you knew you had a deadline, you would alter your life because there would be things you'd say, life's too short for me. There's some things I've got to do. There's some things I've got to get right. I want to start being part of the solution instead of the problem. I want to be one of those people that when I come up to folks, they're glad I came. And they're not running away from me. And I'm not dragging other people down. I want to become a gift to the people in my life. Life's too short. That's all I got to say about that. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to send you out. We'd like to get your cards from you back. We'll wait just a moment here if you want to bring your cards. If you have an offering to bring, there are baskets in the back and up here. We'll receive those right now. These yellow cards. Every Monday morning, we gather, the pastors gather right over here or out in Georgetown, and we pray over these cards. What you write on here is precious to us because it comes from your heart, and we want to join you in praying for these things. And while you're writing on this yellow card, we have these big blue sticky notes that the children, all those children that left, they have their prayer requests. And we get part of the story off of the yellow. And we get the rest of the story off of the blue. And so the Lord informs us how we should pray. And before we pray, we read all of them. So we get the whole story. And let me tell you, that blue sheet is precious in God's sight. I love you. I thank the Lord for you. I want to encourage you to be who God has called you to be. Life's too short for some of the foolishness that we get ourselves tied up in. It's not worth it. It's not worth it when the Lord's calling us to something bigger and better. Now, Brother Rick will be around, and I'll be here. If you'd like to talk to us, and if you maybe hadn't put that yellow card in yet, go ahead and scribble something off. You can put it in before you leave, or you can call us anytime. Okay? Our phone numbers are plastered all over everything. You can go to the internet. You can contact us that way, because we desire to pray with you and see what God has done. How many of you have had an answered prayer this week? How many of you need an answer to prayer this coming week? How many of you absolutely just dreading the holidays? How many of you have some people that you're going to face during the holidays that you really need prayer as you face them? Okay. You ask enough questions and you get the answers, okay? All right, let's pray together, okay? Are you ready? Ready to receive from the Lord? Okay. Now, Jesus, we lift you up. You're the Lord of all. You're the one who has forgiven us of our sin. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who's never received you as Savior and Lord, that today they will profess their faith in you and trust you because you're bigger than anything they have done to separate them from you. Lord, we bring all these things before you, all these needs. But Lord, as we're coming with a thankful heart Because, Lord, you have done so much to us and for us. You have saved us. You have ministered to us. You have brought us through difficult times. And we thank you. We bless your name. You've answered prayer. Now, Lord, we bring all of these requests, all of these, as we've raised our hands, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you to come. Come with your power. Come with your love. Come with your forgiveness. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And now, I send you out under the authority of Yahweh, our Father, in the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can say this today with feeling after last night. Sick of them.